Welcome to Love Amped, an exploration of healing others through healing ourselves. Check out loveamped.com for additional resources and support.
Love Amped. Hello, friends, and welcome to Love Amped. I'm your host, Seth Pearson, back from Burning Man. Yes, so much fun and growth and everything. God, I mean, just spiritually, sexually, participation-wise, friendships, all deepened in all those areas. And I just feel so good and got some great recordings and content that I want to share with you. I'm excited to share. But before that, we have Lizzie Graham from Conscious Crew, a good friend of mine, and talking about a marriage that she went through that eventually taught her who she wanted to be with in the end. So enjoy.
Alrighty. Hello. Can you hear
me? Oh, Lizzie. Hello.
Hi, Seth.
Welcome. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining tonight.
Of course.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, first of all, my first question, or actually, a bit about yourself and tell us about Conscious Crew.
Oh, my goodness. Where do I begin? I am a 29-year-old female human living in Seattle. Some of my favorite ways to get into trouble are electronic dance music, which is where Conscious Crew comes in, sailing, and my Etsy shop, Raving Unicorn, shameless plug.
Hell yeah.
I am a self-professed crazy dog lady. I'm mother to a very old lab Dane named Murphy. And last but definitely not least, I am also wife to a very vivacious red-bearded man named Matt. So,
a damn incredible person.
Yes, he's a wonderful human. So that's Lizzie in a nutshell. But as far as Conscious Crew goes, it's simultaneously one of the most exhausting and most rewarding things I've ever done and continue to do. That might change when I do my little boat race. But it's a really amazing harm reduction organization, and we're able to do really cool work at local dance music shows, but some members have also gone a little farther and volunteered, not officially as Conscious Crew, but volunteered at other music festivals like Shambhala. I know some have gone to Bass Coast and festivals down in California, but we're a harm reduction organization, and what that means is we try to keep people safe at electronic shows in particular, but we also volunteer at events like Bumbershoot in Seattle, which is not strictly electronic. And harm reduction means we try to keep patrons safe. We try to help people look out for each other. We spread a message not only of that Conscious Crew is here to help you if you run into a situation where you feel unsafe or see someone that looks like they might be unsafe, but we also empower and encourage patrons to take care of themselves and look out for signs that someone might be in trouble. And so we do messaging around like making sure to drink water, taking breaks, and just overall just taking care of each other and spreading the love. And what's cool about the work we do is we're all fellow ravers, electronic music enthusiasts, however you want to play it. And so to some people, especially if they're in a state where they might be feeling in over their head, it can be scary to go to someone in a uniform that says security or go to someone that's in a full medic uniform and you need help. And instead, we're friendly people in neon t-shirts and whatever accessories we're wearing. And we're often seen as a more friendly resource. So, yeah.
Awesome. Wow. That was an amazing overview. Oh my
God. Elevator speech.
Yeah, that was really good. And talking about, we both just went to Shambhala. And so
we got.
I was there too. Yeah.
Oh, we failed.
I know,
so bad,
right?
Meeting up.
We didn't know. We both didn't know. Like until after the fact, where I saw that you posted that you were out there. And I was like, oh, dang it. But it was cool seeing anchors, yes. though. Like, oh and their the first time being able to like test stuff. Like, I've never, or like test stuff on site, like through an organization. That was fantastic. So, definitely interested in volunteering with them. Did yep, I lose you?
Hello.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, good. Yeah, it was just so interesting to see like the contrast of like normally they can't even talk about like people doing substances, but there it's like, yep, people do it and we'll help you out. But yeah, and also just saying that's how I know Lizzie is through Conscious Crew. Yes. And it's just great. It's just been amazing like meeting so many awesome people through that. So I'm just like, it's just great.
Yeah.
Anywho, on to the first question I got for you, which is, so Lizzie, you kind of have this kind of, you would call it a black little heart that you used to have. What is that?
Yeah.
And where did that come from?
So long story short, when I went to college, like, you know, several people do. And when I was in college, my freshman year, I met the person that would wind up being my first husband. And the fact that I say first husband tells you there's a story coming. he and I ended up divorcing right before I turned 25. And as you know, I don't know anyone that goes into marriage expecting that it's going to end in divorce. You know, I would hope that no one does, but anyway. And so I, at 24, was dealing with a divorce and, you know, things that had led up to it were not very happy or pleasant. So I already wasn't in a very positive mindset. And
what were some of those things? What went down?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to go, I mean, you know, the person is still a human that's alive, and so I don't want to do anything or say anything too mean, but essentially we just became very different people. You know, we wanted different things in life. We had different ideas of what constituted a loving, respectful marriage. And I had a certain level of respect that I expected, and you know, that wasn't happening. And but I also, you know, at 24 I was like, I don't really know what to do. Like, I don't know how I would possibly take care of myself outside of that. So I tried to stick it out, and then instead I found out we were getting divorced. And so during that time period, like, I just became very, very angry and bitter. Like, It's crazy now to look back, and like, I even like read through one of my old journals from that time period.
Just, you were journaling.
I was, yeah. And reading it was just like, reading it now, I was like, holy crap. I was like really angry, really bitter. Like, I wrote about how like I was at a park with my mom hanging out, because mom is awesome. And like seeing a wedding going on and just being like so bitter and angry that I couldn't even handle seeing another wedding, like seeing someone being happy like that. And we ended up leaving, because I was just like, I can't handle this. We gotta go. And even my mom was like, wow, you are a little cranky there. And so yeah, I was just like, I was in this really, really dark period. I was not happy. You know, I just was, I was not the Lizzie that you know right now. I was very just like sullen, grumpy.
Was this directed at yourself and him as well?
I mean, there was a lot going on. I mean, you know, I did have, you know, I realize now, a pretty severe mental breakdown. Like it was scary. Like, now that I'm outside of it for several years, but.
Yeah, I
could have wound up in a much, much worse spot than I did, thank goodness. But I just, like, quite frankly, I was a pretty toxic person to be around. Like, I do have some friendships that ended during that time period. And I just, you know, I thank God for Murphy that I adopted him when I did, because I think if I didn't, I would have just gone off the deep end and like just gone partying, like weekend long benders. But because I got my sweet, wonderful dog, I had to be home at least twice a day to feed him and walk him, so I couldn't just completely disappear into drinking and God knows what else.
Yeah. So when you had your mental breakdown, like, what did that look like?
I mean, there's a lot of it that I don't remember, so I'm going off of what other people have told me. But the night that my ex told me that he, like, we'd already separated, but that night he told me in a therapy session, which is interesting, but mm-hmm. he told me that he truly wanted a divorce and was going to proceed with filing a divorce. I just mm-hmm. reached a point where I was like, I was in so much pain and I just wanted to not be in pain. Like, it felt like my whole world was falling apart around me because I was, you know, I thought like, okay, we're going to be married forever and this is how it's going to happen. And yes, we were not happy, but I, you know, at the time had hoped to be able to fix it and whatnot, and realizing that, no, this is not getting fixed. This is over. Your life as you knew it is over. I had been prescribed Xanax, I don't know, a week or two ago by my doctor, because I was dealing with, you know, dealing with a lot of stress, not sleeping well and whatnot. And so I decided I just kind of wanted to not feel pain anymore.
Yeah.
And just go to sleep. And so I came home and, like, I thank God, because I didn't know this at the time, that this was a bad combination. I thank God I didn't drink anything alcoholic with it, because that could have been really bad.
That'd be bad.
But and this is where it gets kind of fuzzy, but like, I took, I don't even know how many Xanax, but way more than a normal human should. Thankfully my mom kind of knew that something was up, and so she lived an hour away from me at the time, but she was already driving down. I think I had like, and I like, she got home and realized, or I think my ex-husband told my mom that something was going on, because I told him, like, I'm just gonna go home and take a bunch of Xanax and go to sleep. And so he was like, and he didn't want to come over, but he, you know, he told my mom and I think a couple other friends of mine. And I don't really remember a lot of what happened the rest of that night. Like, I know I stayed at home, I didn't end up going to the hospital, but I think like police came to check on me. But I just was numb and just not feeling like myself, and I felt like my world was ending and I wanted to not be hurting for a little bit. Thankfully nothing, I'm so lucky, because like, in hindsight, you know, even though like, you know, I don't know that I actually truly wanted to kill myself, but this is a lot to talk about. But I just wanted to stop hurting, and I didn't want to be in a world where I was hurting anymore. So I don't even think that my brain was processing that that could mean not waking back up. I think I just wanted to wake up somewhere that I wasn't hurting, which in hindsight is my brain's saying that I was trying to not wake up on Earth. But it was a really hard experience, because that, like, that truly is my definition now for me of rock bottom, of reaching a point where I just was in so much pain that I didn't want to keep going. But it does get better. I mean, obviously now I'm where I'm at, which is a much much better.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm very grateful that I didn't do anything to not be here.
Yeah, totally. Close call. What, so when you talk about pain, like, pain means like different things to different people.
Yeah.
Like, how would you like break down pain for you, like, that you were experiencing?
I mean, at the time, like, it was just the most emotional despair I'd ever been in. Like, I just, it was a mix of like panic and like incredible sadness and also anger, and all of these things were just like swirling inside of me, and my 24-year-old brain just could not process all of what was going on. And I just couldn't function. Like, I, you know, I would try to go to work and then end up just crying and having to go home. I thank God I worked at a really great nonprofit at the time that was very understanding. Like, I know other people that have managers that would not have been as understanding, and, you know, quite frankly, like, they might have lost their job. I know people that have lost their jobs over things like that, like not being able to function at work. And so I'm very grateful for that. But yeah, just this almost like feeling like life. I mean, and this sounds very dramatic now, but this is 24-year-old Lizzie that I'm channeling. But it just it felt like life was over as I knew it.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, like, yeah, life was over as I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, things did get a lot better, and I realized through that, like, A, my mom, like, who I wasn't as close with at the time, partly because my ex didn't like my mom and whatnot, but my mom was just absolutely my rock during that. Like, she, I don't think I'll ever fully understand, like, everything that I put her through, but I'm so grateful that she stayed there with me and, you know, essentially was like, I'm paraphrasing my mom, but because I don't think she'd ever exactly call me this, but essentially like, hey, dumbass, pull your head out of wherever, like, you're going to be okay.
Was nice.
Like, because she's, you know, she's my mom. She's my encourager.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very powerful. Like, your parents want you to be happy, and they're going to do whatever it takes to get you out of that, back in. Would it also be, like, a physical, like, sensation as well? I know for anxiety and stuff, like, manifests in different ways in my body.
Like, I definitely was just very tightly wound. Like, I definitely was not relaxed in any sense of the word. Like, I definitely was, you know, like, I was just very tight, like, very tense. You know, I wasn't sleeping well. So I just physically felt exhausted. And, like, I had, this was the other bad part, like, I had hardly any appetite, and I normally love food. And so, like, I was losing weight pretty quickly. Like, not, thankfully not in any sort of eating disorder way. I just wasn't hungry. And I'd have to, like, and I'd have friends, like, my mom be like, you need to eat food. Your body needs nutrients. And I was just like, oh yeah, eating. I should do that. But it was just, like, not something that, like, I didn't have an appetite. So that was, that's what I remember. There might have been other stuff, but this was.
No, that's, I mean, being tight all the time, that could just. Ooh, and not sleeping. We all know that can just wreck yourself for sure. And from there, okay, so bringing it, was it when you met Matt that, like, things turned, like, fully turned around? Or, like, when was the, where did the, like, the life change after the divorce and stuff come in? And is this when you, like, learned about self-love? Or, like, when did that kick in for you as well?
I mean, it's interesting because there's not, like, one specific defining moment that I remember. It's more, it's more of, like, a period of time. I think one thing that definitely helped was, you know, one of the things with my ex was he didn't really want to go to concerts with me very often, especially electronic shows. And electronic music is something that's been a part of my life since I was 14. And at this point has been part of my life over half my life, and I don't see it going anywhere. So to be able to give myself permission to go to shows more often was really cool, because I mean, you and I both know that there's beautiful, amazing things that happen in electronic shows.
Just magic. Pure magic.
And I found found a new group of friends that was really cool. There is one moment that I think was really, really special, because I started hanging out with a new rave family, Camp Ivan, if you guys end up listening, I love you. But they, I went to Parody, so all this stuff went down in 2013. I went to the fall of 2013. I started hanging out with this new rave family, and then we all went to Paradiso 2014, and that, I think I'm backtracking. There is a moment that was pretty cool. When I went to Paradiso 2014, this now Seattle resident named Seven Lions, AKA Jeff, played at Paradiso. He was at one of the side stages, and now, of course, he could probably sell out the Gorge of his own accord.
Right. Was that Digital Oasis?
Yeah, it was the Digital Oasis that he played at.
Very cool. I saw the end of that.
Yeah. And during that set, I remember it was during Worlds Apart, his song Worlds Apart, I just started, like, breaking down and crying, because, like, the entire Ray family was around me, and I just realized, like, holy crap, I actually am in a place where I can feel safe, and I am in a place with really great people. And so, like, I started breaking down and crying, and there were lots of hugs, and I told a couple of people, like, about, like, the full story of what had happened, and then there were more hugs and more crying. And that was a really cool moment. And I think, actually, now that I think about it, at that time I had already met Matt, because we'd gone on one date, and then we were sending each other pictures, because at the time he was visiting a friend in Hawaii, and I was at the Gorge, so we were, like, sending each other pictures of, like, gorgeous places we were at.
Cute.
Yeah, it was fun. This is very early in the relationship. And then, yeah, like, Paradiso was a really amazing. It, you know, we had great weather that year. It wasn't a year that it was ungodly hot and there weren't any weather adventures that we had to deal with. But yeah, I think that was a really transformative one. I also, earlier in the year, you know, I had gone to Resolution, which was a New Year's Eve rave above and beyond was supposed to play at.
Oh, yes. The weather was awful. My God. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were supposed to land. They were supposed to fly in from, I think they were playing another show somewhere else, but it was such thick fog that they couldn't land. Like, we're trying to figure out chartering a helicopter, but nothing was going to get them there on time. And so they did a couple of makeup shows in Seattle.
I was there February. Too. Awesome. That was like the day before my birthday. It was like the February 15th or something. Yeah, this is so funny.
We didn't see each other at. but yeah, so I got to go to one of the makeup shows because they sold out in a heartbeat. But I had a friend that was kind enough to sell me, I think, at or below cost. I think they either sold it to me or at low price or just gave it to me. But I was able to go, and it happened to be the night that a lot of my friends were going too. So that was another big one, is just seeing Above and Beyond with a whole bunch of friends, and then. It was a Saturday night show, so then the next day we got to all just, like, hang out together and afterglow mm-hmm. and whatnot. A lot of special moments have happened with Above and Beyond.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Same here with the Above and Beyond. That's for sure.
Yeah. It feels.
Wow. Very good. Wow. So you met Matt, and then I remember you posting on Facebook also that it was, like, that meeting Matt and, like, how Murphy, he was, like, the only person that Murphy liked or something like that. Yes. And, like, how that changed. So, like, how is, like, meeting someone that's, like, I don't know, like, that's been such a just eye-opening, like, just in such a enhancement to your life, like, how has the contrast been, like, how did you learn to, like, look for that instead of, like, maybe something that, you know, the past, like, of someone that you dated or, you know,
husband, yeah, ex-husband. I think, first of all, you know, I thought I knew better at 18 when I met my now ex-husband. You know, I thought I knew, like, no, this is it. Like, he's the love of my life. But I had never been independent at that time. Like, I'd always, you know, like, growing up, like, I lived with my mom. And then, you know, I went to college and I always had roommates I lived with. And then I met him my freshman year of college, and then we got married between my junior and senior year. And so I had never figured out who Lizzie was as just Lizzie. It was always, who was Lizzie as part of, like, living with my mom and my brother, or living with roommates, or living with a spouse. Like, I never got to figure out, like, who I was. Ooh. Like, as independent person. It was always just me as part of a unit. Yeah. And so I wound up getting my own apartment after, I lived with friends for a while as a roommate, but then I wound up getting my own apartment. And that was really important because then I got to figure out, okay, who is Lizzie living as just Lizzie with Murphy? And, you know, Murphy is, he's a very wonderful, wonderful creature, but he doesn't pay bills. And he, for the most part, leaves the house the way I left it. Like, he definitely likes to rearrange the couch cushions and pull them all off and then whine that they're not on the couch anymore. But it was really important for me to get that time, and I didn't realize it until I had it and had been living independently for a while, because then, for better or for worse, like, the bank account stays the same and the home stays the same. So if I leave it a mess when I come home, it's still a mess. So, but on the flip side, it was cool because, like, you know, if I wanted to make the place a certain way, I didn't have to discuss it with anyone. I mean, I would talk at Murphy, but he didn't respond in English. And so I got to figure out, like, what I wanted to do. And, like, there'd be events with friends or coworkers, and I didn't have to worry about, like, bouncing off a spouse or coordinating schedules. So I got to figure out, like, okay, what, you know, what's my ideal balance of social versus couch time? What's, you know, what kind of things do I eat when I'm not needing to plan it with someone else? And it turns out that that's a hell of a lot of crap mac and cheese. But like, and so I got to figure out like what I, like who I was as an individual and then find someone that would complement that. And so like for a while, I just did the single thing. Like I was bachelorette, whatnot. And then I decided, I had a few friends that had done OkCupid because this was before Bumble really had kicked off. And so OkCupid is definitely, it's an interesting arena. And so I'd gone on like, I'd written an OkCupid profile and then gone on a few dates and continued to refine the OkCupid profile. But something I figured out that I really needed was I needed a partner that would really not only treat me like an equal, but actually see me as an equal partner. Yeah. Like not like, cause I don't subscribe to the idea that woman is supposed to be subservient to man. Like,
oh yeah, no. Not a good one.
We're both adults, like both have jobs ideally. But one of the things that drew me to Matt was A, I could tell that he was someone that was not taking the OkCupid thing completely seriously, which is good because some people do like take it entirely too seriously. Oh, yeah. And he had also written in his profile that he was looking for someone that would be an equal. And what was cool was he wrote it not in like a like cocky kind of way, but he'd written it just, it came across as a very genuine, like he is looking for a partner. Another thing that really drew me to him was he put in, and this is why I actually ended up messaging him first, because I was like, screw it, just go nice. For it. He had written that he was looking for a partner in crime for crimes he won't get arrested for. So I was like, what does that mean?
That's adorable.
And yeah, and it turned out, which is still the case, that Matt's one of Matt's love languages is pranks. And so I asked him, like, when I messaged him, I asked him, like, okay, so we both matched with each other. What does this mean? Like, what? How would you define a crime that you won't get arrested for? And one of the things that he came up with was faking a marriage proposal on the Bainbridge Island ferry in the hopes that strangers on the ferry would buy you beers.
Oh my gosh. Incredible.
Yeah. But the funny story with that is I fell for Matt too hard and too fast for us to fake a proposal, because by the time we were close enough that like that would be something we could actually pull off, I was like, we just gotta wait till we've done it for real. I can't do the fake one. realizing that I needed someone that would treat me as an equal was very important, as was, like, you know, some of those similar goals. Like, we both like adventure, both like mischief. You know, one of the things I put in my profile was that I have a dog, and he and I are a package deal. And if my dog does not like you, then that's probably, I can't remember exactly how I phrased it, but essentially you are going to need to get approved by Murphy.
His paw of approval. Murphy,
yeah. And Murphy is, I adopted him. When I adopted him, he was already considered a senior, and I don't know his full backstory because he was picked up as a stray and then wound up at the shelter where I got him after getting bounced from two other shelters where his number had come up. But people there loved him enough to say, no, he's not going to the scary one-way room. He's going to a home. But because of his history, and, you know, I'm pretty sure that there's someone in Idaho where he's originally from that was not very nice to him. Because a lot of males, he just will get scared and bark at. And so I was nervous bringing Matt home. So I was like, oh gosh, like Murphy's going to bark at him. Murphy's going to be scared of him. But no. Probably helped that I may or may not have spent the night at Matt's house the night before. And We may or may not have spent a lot of time together.
We'll see.
Yeah. But in any case, it probably helped that Matt smelled like Murphy's mom when he walked in the door. But Murphy immediately was just like, "Hi, I'm Murphy." And so that was really cool to see, just like, wow, this dog who doesn't like most guys likes Matt instantly.
That's so cool.
That was another long
very good. Thank you. And then, so how is sailing worked into this, by the way?
Oh, sailing. So this is another, my mother's story. Mm-hmm. When she was younger, she, my mom did quite a bit of sailing, but then she and I have kind of similar stories. We both were in marriages that were unhappy for a while. Hers longer than mine. She actually ended up finalizing divorce with my dad a couple years before mine happened. So that was,
that's some odd timing.
Not cool.
It's interesting coincidence,
but it was something that we both were able to share together, I think is the better way to put it. And she, my freshman year of college, or maybe the summer before my freshman year, decided that she wanted to get back into sailing, that she missed it and wanted to do it. And so she was doing a little bit of sailing. Then she was doing more sailing and she was just having an absolute blast and like kind of mentioning that she'd love to have me join her. But I was like, I don't know, I've got a lot of stuff going on. And then I did start going sailing with her and really enjoyed it. There's an event in the summer every Tuesday night on Lake Union called the Duck Dodge. And Duck Dodge is it's a very special, very unique sailing event because it's sailing, but it's definitely beer can racing. What that means is not very strict formal rules. In fact, of the rules they have, rules 3, 5, 7, 9, and 11 are don't hit each other.
That's funny.
But every Tuesday night's a different theme. People dress up in costumes, decorate their boats. And so I joined mom for a duck dodge because I was like, okay, this looks pretty fun. And it was. It was cool. Like it was just super cool. Like be with a bunch of goofy people, be on a sailboat in the middle of the lake, and so sailing off and on a little bit over the next few years. But then, like I think 2 or 3 years ago, like I really started getting more into sailing, and getting more into racing with actual formalized rules, and realized like this is just freaking fun. And so, especially the last couple of years, I've been more competitively racing. I'm actually starting to, heaven forbid, learn my way around racing and like learning more of the rules and getting like things are getting more instinctive. And then the big sailing thing that I'm doing is this little, I know we're going to dig into this, this sailboat race called Clipper Around the World. And, was this for your
show? Just I guess like how this it kind of worked in like a time of your life where like you said like your mom was getting the divorce, like you were also getting through that, and it's like it feels like part of this like freeing moment too, like where you're like I'm free and I'm out here, and now it's also like it continues to be like a part of your life that you're learning from. It's like you want it for yourself, like you are I just think that's awesome. I think that's great.
Yeah. Well, and that is what's cool about it is it's something that mom and I can share together. And like, unfortunately, like most millennials, I will admit, slightly addicted to my phone. And sailing is one of those times where, especially when racing, like you don't have time to be goofing around on your phone. Like there's always something to do and just like be out on the water. Albeit sometimes racing is not super peaceful because there can be times where you're like you're rounding a mark and there's five of their boats all there at the same time, so you're needing to avoid hitting each other, and sometimes things get messed up and so you have to fix them very quickly, and that part's not so relaxing. But then there's other moments where like you're going downwind and you know it's a really great sail, and you know in the Pacific Northwest we're very blessed to have such incredible wildlife, like both in the mountains and out on the water. Like, you know, we have our resident orcas that granted need a lot of love right now, but like to be able to like be out on the water and see these orcas, like it helped. I haven't seen them from the water myself, but it's on my list that I'm hoping to see. It's really empowering to be able to like see these animals and see that wow, like there's so much more than just me around here. And just like being able to operate a boat with just, you know, wind and sails and, you know, a lot of different things on the boat. But just to be able to like learn that problem solving and communicating with the rest of the crew. And, you know, when I get to get on a boat together with my mom, it's really special because I can tell that she's proud that I've adopted her love of sailing. And it's funny. She'll joke sometimes that she's created a monster because much like when I was younger, she taught me to sew. And now I have an Etsy shop. She got me sailing and now I'm signed up for part of this around the world sailboat.
Wow.
Race.
So you're just like crushing. You're just crushing it. You're just taking her little things that she loves. And you're like, yes. Yeah.
I'm not trying to like.
No, of course not. But
it's just, but I tend not to half-ass things too much. So when I get into something, like I really get into something, for better
That's
or for
awesome.
Worse.
Man.
Yeah, and it's just, it's really cool to build confidence too. Mm-hmm. Like, because it's like to, especially at the end of the day when you realize like, holy crap, we did that and we got through it. And that was kind of crazy, but we did it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Is there any other moments that, like, what would you have told yourself, like, when you were going through those tough times, like, now? Like, if you knew now, like, what would you have told yourself?
I mean, it might sound kind of cheesy, but just, it gets better. Like, at the time, like, I thought that, like, I didn't know where I was going to go. 'Cause part of it was I just, you know, I didn't think that I could be okay financially without staying with my partner, and I didn't, you know, I couldn't imagine possibly like being independent. But then lo and behold, like, it worked. I mean, you know, it was not without the help of some really awesome family and friends who like were able to, you know, be supportive and encouraging. Like, I definitely didn't do it all completely mm-hmm. by myself. I had an army.
Yeah, support's very important,
but just it things got better and there was so much more ahead. That was really cool.
Yeah. Wow. I guess what is like in general, like what would you say has helped you like even to this day? Like, is there anything about self-love that you don't think we've talked about so far that has been important to you? Helpful.
I think just, you know, knowing that there is like humans can do a whole lot. And this is kind of funny, but it's advice that my debate coach in college would give, like when dealing with something either really stressful or really scary. But it was just remember they can't eat you.
Mm.
And like sometimes when I'm going through something really stressful, I'll hear him saying that and I'll just kind of chuckle. 'Cause it's like, yeah, that's true. Like this sudden bill might be scary, or like this person at work might just be an absolute butthole, but at the end of the day, like they can't eat me, so I will be okay. Like they won't be eating me. I will be like, it will be okay. So like no matter how scary or whatever, I'm not there.
That's
so
awesome.
Kind of silly, but
like you will physically go on even in these tough situations.
Exactly.
Unless you're dealing with like a bear. You know, bears.
Yeah, bears.
Bears can eat you, but humans, no.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Well, Lizzie, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing. And this is wonderful. And I guess I'll see you at what, Virtual Self, probably.
Yes.
Yep.
Working it.
Awesome.
Yep. On a Thursday, which is going to be super great at work the next day.
Yeah,
but
I know, right? That's a tough day to do it.
Yeah. But
oh,
really cool.
Man. And probably Bumbershoot, you're doing that. I'll be a Burning Man, but
have fun.
Thanks.
I'll be working Bumbershoot.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, awesome. I'll see you then. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks, Seth.
See
well, my friend. Bye.
Boom.
Love Amped. Now, when I say Matt is an amazing man, I fucking mean it. Just the few times that we've hung out on Conscious Cruise ships, I just have been blown away by who he is. So I'm so happy that Lizzie and Matt found each other, and I'm so happy that Lizzie could share that story with us. So thanks for listening, guys. Tune in next week for the beginnings of some of my recordings from Burning Man. You're gonna love it. Okay, until then, follow me on Twitter, Seth_Pearson. Check out loveamp.com, and love yourselves out there.
This was Love Amped, a podcast by Seth Pearson. Check out loveamped.com for more info on today's topic.